This episode of The Morning Stream brought to you by our friends and your friends at TweakedAudio.com. Go to TweakedAudio.com right now and choose from a great selection of audio earbuds and accessories at very low prices, and even lower if you use our code at checkout. That's STREAM at checkout for 33% off. There's a lifetime warranty on all of it, so get there now. That's TweakedAudio.com and the code STREAM for 33% off.
The Morning Unit.
The Morning Unit. Coming up on TMS, the worst dream of all time.
Ford took home big cash.
The farting husband.
Game of Thrones goes all Inception on us.
Why Leo turned down Anakin Skywalker.
Recommendals.
Dan Dan the Tabletop Man and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Snorkel.
Whoop. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Get your ass to Mars.
Screwed up the timing there.
Snorkel.
I'm supposed to play Snorkel sooner.
Snorkel.
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 Anyway, hi everybody. Welcome to the... Wait, who is that?
Snorkel.
Who does that sound like?
Snorkel.
That sound familiar?
Little third eagle. Little bit.
Snorkel. Snorkel.
I don't know.
Snorkel.
It's going to drive me crazy now.
So that's all you have? You just have a...
Yeah, I know it's a Snorkel? The only other hint is it's a film sack clip of some sort. And I don't know from Snorkel. What... Someone in the chat room is going to have to help us.
Snorkel.
What's this from?
Snorkel.
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 Snorkel. Help us out. Help a guy out. All right, anyway, we'll get to that in a minute.
What was the screaming clip from?
Also from Film Sack, and I don't remember what movie.
Oh, my God. That lasted forever.
I know. It was the longest scream of all time. I kind of have some recollection of thinking that was ridiculous when we did it on the show, but
yeah.
There you have it. By the way, a new episode this weekend. I'm so excited. We're going to see, what are we seeing? We're seeing
Wing Commander.
Wing Commander. And I think we're seeing it Saturday morning, the morning after Christmas, what's it called? It's New Year's Day. Friday's New Year's Day. Oh, that's
Friday's
right.
Friday's New Year's Day. Saturday is New Year's Eve. Saturday is the day after New Year's
so
Day.
So all of you drinking types will be well over your hangovers and stuff.
Oh, totally.
Right? Okay. And it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll probably be drinking New Year's Day evening as well because it's the first Mammoth game of the season.
Oh, the Mammoth are out. Going for it. What do they do? I forget.
It's National League Lacrosse.
Ah, that's right.
Pepsi Center.
Yeah, the lacrosse, French for the cross. They get out there and they do their bit. I know it's a Native American thing. Everyone calm down. I know. We've been through this. We've had this conversation. anyways. Let's get right to it. I'm Scott. He's Brian, and it is the Morning Stream for December 30th, 2015, and that means we've only got a couple days left. Well, today and tomorrow left, really, mm-hmm. before the year rolls over.
That's it. Yeah, this is the last episode of TMS for the year. But you and I we never really talked about this. So we're going to do a little special dealy for.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, a little New Year's Day or New Year's Eve kind of thing. Sure.
Good deal. I like that.
I even have a little end of year little thing.
Perfect. We're going to sing "Auld Lang Syne" in the traditional Welsh lyrics.
Yes, and I'm about to admit to something I'm very embarrassed about.
What's that?
I thought it was the word "old" my entire life.
Right.
Until. The other day on this show when you brought it up and we were looking at
oh, really?
The name. Yeah.
It's old. Let's drink to Auld Lang Syne. Yeah. Good old Lang.
Yeah, good old Lang. What's going on, Lang? It's good to see you again, buddy. Let's drink to you. Yeah, I didn't know. I really didn't know. And it's one of those things in life that it never really had any impact on me. The only time I'd ever hear of it was once a year. I wouldn't look anything up because who cares? We're just singing it.
Right.
You can get away with saying old because it sounds the same. And I just never thought about it. And then the other day, you and I were trying to find some origin to that. And I looked up, we were looking at it on Google. And at the time, I have to admit, I was too embarrassed to say that I didn't know it was spelled that way. But like most things on this show, I believe full disclosure is always the way to live my life. So I'm just going to let everybody know. Yeah, I didn't know, dude. I thought it was old. O-L-D the whole time.
You know what? Just to make you feel better, I'll admit something.
Okay.
That I thought there was this far-off land named Idahai. Like this, you know, this far-off place that you just couldn't see from wherever you were at, right?
Yeah.
Because of the song...
I think I know it.
We just disagree. The song's there's only you and me and we just disagree. Because there's a lyric in there.
Yeah.
Remember this very clearly from the 70s or whenever it came out.
Yeah.
So let's leave it alone because we can't see eye to eye.
Oh, because you can't see the place.
Right.
That's amazing.
Let's just leave it alone. We can't see it. It's too far away. There ain't no good guy.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no bad guy.
Yeah, Idaho. It's where all the, it's your own private Idaho, right? So they make all the potatoes.
Way, Robert Burns is Scottish. The writer of Auld Lang Syne is Scottish, not Welsh.
Well, the name Auld sounds a bit Scottish.
It does. Well, it definitely sounds Scottish.
Yeah.
But also sounded Welsh to me, and that's why I thought that.
Well, see, you got that wrong. Everyone's getting everything wrong. And the tap on top of that, whoops, not that, don't play that. On top of that, nobody knows what this is.
Snorkel.
Has anyone figured that out in the chat yet?
No, E. David Croft suggested that it was from the movie The Day of the Dolphin, starring George C. Scott.
We have not seen that
film, seen that film, so I don't think, well, I believe that there, yes, is a snorkel there.
Yeah.
Was there a snorkel, a mention of a snorkel in...
And the word snorkel is getting funnier by the second, by the
way.
It
really does, yeah. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, or what did we see? The
the boat one recently.
Yeah, the submarine one.
Shite. Where they had the big rubber monster that tried to eat
right.
it. What was that called?
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea?
Was it Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea?
Yeah. I think Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
I think that was it.
Snorkel.
Yeah. But would they say snorkel?
Snorkel.
Also, the sound quality on that sounds more stereo-ish. Sounds
too modern, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah. Hard rain.
It's hard rain. Yeah, it's hard rain, everybody.
We just want the snorkel.
You got 30 seconds.
All right, fine. Crawl through shit and get on the other side.
Right.
Speaking of which, what was I going to say about that? I had something to say about that movie. About
Hard Rain?
No. The other one. No, the freaking.
Wing Commander?
No.
Snorkel?
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah, okay.
My kids have never seen it, and so we're having a dad movie night where they're all of age now. I think they can handle the themes in there.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And I think I need them to see what I believe to be probably one of the 10 best films ever made.
No argument whatsoever. I mean, I'd put that. That's one I put at the top of my list, within the top two or three. I'm surprised, you know, I guess I can understand Nick not seeing it. Mm-hmm. But Carter hasn't seen it either?
Just never got around to it. Yeah, I'm her and or Taylor. So we're gonna make a night of it, have Taylor and Dylan over. We're going to have everybody there, and we're going to watch it. Kim's not looking forward to it because the movie really depresses her. She doesn't like prison movies.
Sure.
And it is depressing to its... But I think to its credit, it's a kind of... I don't know. The movie crafts the passage of time so well and makes you feel so kind of ugh for him.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that's one of the strengths of the thing. But anyway, we're going to watch it. And the kids will finally see what it's like to see the voice of Mr. Krabs being the worst possible prison guard captain of all time.
I keep forgetting that that's him.
Yeah, Clancy Brown, baby.
Yeah.
Up there rocking it.
So, got to watch. There was a Clancy Brown film where it's a bunch of guys all hiking.
Mm.
And
Clancy Brown. Oh.
It's really good, and I want to say it's Berenger, Tom Berenger, and Clancy Brown.
What's the This is ringing a bell. I'm not
late '80s, I believe.
Ish, yeah. And he was still he didn't look like big wizened man yet. He was,
no. He looked like you just didn't want to mess with.
yeah, he looked tough. He looked like what was he in?
Shoot to Kill.
Was it Shoot to Kill?
Sure, certainly sounds like Shoot to Kill.
Shoot to Thrill, Too Many Women, Too Many
Pills.
It does
have Tom Berenger. It's got Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier?
Let's see. Cunning Murder vanishes into the rugged mountains of the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, pursuing FBI agent Warren Stanton, played by Poitier.
Poitier?
Must exchange familiar city streets for unknown wilderness trails.
Wow. All right.
This is actually really, really good. It's a really... really cool movie, Shoot to Kill. It's a dumb name. It's like, you know, name come up with by Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. It's a terrible name, but something's ringing true about you saying it's good. Like, maybe I've seen this.
Yeah, Sidney Poitier, Tom Berenger, Kirstie Alley in one of her earliest non-Star Trek film roles, Clancy Brown.
You mean not as Sarek? Okay.
That's right.
All right.
Richard Mazur.
I like Mazur.
Who you'd recognize.
Yeah, he's cool. character actor.
The Thing.
Yeah, he's a character actor of some renown.
Yeah. I wonder if that's if that's streaming on Netflix, then
I'd love that.
I'm putting it on our
we could go, who lives in a pineapple under the sea? That's think that part's in there? Probably not.
It probably is, yeah. Oh yeah, shoot to kill.
All right, write that down as a potential. If it ever shows up, we'll see that. Speaking of things you see, so I have to share the weirdest experience. And I already know you of this of you as well, but I really, really disliked Glee, the show, Glee.
Yes.
I didn't like it at all. And it wasn't because there was singing in it, folks. That's not my problem. My problem was 30-somethings playing 16-year-olds and the storyline never really going anywhere. And it felt fake and I didn't like it. And it felt fake in a way that wasn't charming or otherworldly. It felt fake in a kind of just half-assed kind of fake way. I just never liked it. Could not get my head around it. So, fine, whatever. Not everything's for me. I get it. I can't watch Vampire Diaries either, but boy, my wife sure loves it. You know? Brian doesn't like the Housewives of wherever, but his wife sure likes those, right?
Exactly. Yep.
So it's fine. We know that these are made for some people. Occasionally we can meet in the middle and find something we like together, like you guys like Survivor. Not the band, but the show.
Like the band, too.
Well, the band's all right. But Kim and I will enjoy, you know, I don't know, like a... what do we like? I liked Supernatural a lot, and so does she.
Yeah, there you go. See, there's your guilty... Everyone's got a guilty pleasure. Yeah,
there's our crossover. So... But I never liked Glee. Kim was kind of into Glee, but then fell off after the first season. I didn't care anymore. So.
I didn't like Glee, and then I hated Glee after they did the whole Jonathan Colton thing.
Oh, right. Those bastards.
Where they did Baby Got Back in the exact style of Jonathan Colton and then did not give him any sort of credit. Or
no credit, no permission, nothing.
It was his arrangement, and they...
They were poo-poo heads about that.
They were poo-poo heads, yes.
Yeah, so... Anyway, all of that to the side, I haven't thought about Glee at all. Mm-hmm. I don't even know when it ended. I don't know if it has ended. I guess it has because I've now looked it up since having this dream. But I had a dream last night. That word sounded weird to me right then. Last night.
Last night?
Yeah, I'm not having a stroke, am I? Am I tasting toast? I smell toast. No, all right. So sometimes you can say a little phrase, like a couple of words, and they don't sound right, but they're totally normal. That's what just happened. Last night sounds wrong.
Last night. The more you say it, the weirder it sounds. It's the emphasis on the T, I think, is the problem.
It's the two T's, right? It's the two T's. Facts of life. All right. So, Glee, I had this dream last night that Glee never ended and that we were all forced to watch it forever. It was a nightmare feeling dream where it felt real and it felt like we were forced, like it was a government sanctioned, required of all citizens worldwide. Everyone is forced to sit and watch Glee every time it's on.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And it was like we were trying
to purge.
Yeah, it was a bit like the purge. Yeah. It was a little like the purge, except it was all the time. So if Glee is on, imagine a world where if Glee is on, everyone has to stop what they're doing and watch the entirety of Glee.
Oh, God.
For a whole episode or whatever is on, and then go back to your normal lives.
It's almost like, actually, less like whatever I just said, but more like Demolition Man. I completely forgot The Purge. Less like The Purge, more like Demolition Man, where, you know, all restaurants are Taco Bell and all TV shows are Glee.
Kind of like that. That's a good way of putting it, except they had fun with the Taco Bell thing. This was not fun. It felt like sinister and evil and awful. Like it was one of those dreams where your brain's really playing with you. And a real nightmare. So I wake up from that this morning going, well, that was weird. And I thought, I wonder if Glee's still on. And I went and searched for Glee. First thing that comes up, you know the kid with the mohawk in the show?
No.
Okay. There was a kid, I think he was in the whole show, but he was... First season. Yeah, he had a mohawk. He was like a little bit of a rebel, but he sang with everybody anyways.
Okay. Oh, I'm looking at him now.
Yeah. He got busted for child pornography.
Oh, no.
So this dream. Puck? Yeah. Huck or Puck or what is it?
Puck. Mark Sailing.
Yeah, he's 33. Big shock, by the way.
Wait a minute. How could he be 33 when he was playing a teenager.
I don't get it. That's straight. What a weird high school he went to. Anyway, so sometimes you have a dream about a thing and then you go online and you find a much more nightmarish scenario, which is this guy's got tons of like child porn.
Oh, God.
What's going on with people?
That's crazy. Oh, and this is like horrible stuff. Like,
yeah, bad.
Like under 10-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, see, here's like the thing that you can think about with these Glee people, right? Yeah. They're playing teenagers.
Yep.
So a lot of their audience is going to assume, not knowing any better, that they're teenagers as well.
Sure.
And somehow someone gets his email address, some teenage girl's like, oh, I'm going to totally try and make Puck my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send him nude pictures of me. And so he gets this email and he opens those, goes, oh gosh, that's horrible. Deletes the email. Well, guess what? There's still a record of that on his computer.
Exactly.
Because he opened it.
Exactly. Dear Puck, I'm 17. My name is Cynthia and these are my boobs.
However, if it's girls under 10 on his computer, I think that that's a different thing.
Yeah, that's a different problem. So yeah. I feel like this whole dream thing just led me down an ugly path. I just like, wow. Oh my gosh,
it's
what
almost
happening?
Like you, because this was like 10 hours ago this happened.
Yeah,
like, and this was midnight.
Yeah.
This was posted on TMZ.
So yeah, we're not even a full day since I had this terrible dream.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, while you were having that dream,
whoa,
stuff was going south for,
whoa,
Glee actor Mark Salling.
I hadn't even thought of it that way until you just said,
yeah,
it that way.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm clairvoyant.
You are tuned in to TMZ. You have.
Oh my gosh, dude.
TMZ dreams, basically, is what it is.
Okay, I have one more confession to make because you just reminded me of it. When I was younger and I thought I was going to make comic books.
Yeah.
Ironically, I made a book, but it's not a comic book. But anyway, well, it's got comics in it. But anyway, the point is, when I was making comic books, I thought I was really clever and I was going to make a comic book about a girl who could read people's minds and know that they were in trouble and go save them.
Okay.
And her name was Clairvoyant. I thought that was so clever. And
that is clever.
Well, it's clever in a terrible way. Like,
it's clever and it's probably, you know, been done a million times, sadly.
Yeah, probably. That's the other thing is, when I was thinking of these ideas, there was no tangible, there was no internet the way we know it today.
Right.
So there was no way to kind of check and see if somebody else had come up with this. But I'll bet right now if I just search for Claire, but spelled like the name, Voyant.
Yeah. It's got to be. It's perfectly suited for a CW TV show because, and iZombie is based on a Mike Allred comic, but, you know, the main character,
yeah,
the main zombie girl's name in that.
Yeah, that's true.
Liv Moore.
These things happen.
It's clever.
Clairvoyant's a band, it appears. Indie pop down-tempo band from Sacramento, California. Trio once part of the 5-piece band called Murmur, which split over creative differences. All right. Well, good luck to them. I hope Clairvoyant sells a lot of records.
Yeah. Surprised there's got to be a comic book somewhere featuring a clairvoyant. If not, then quick, get on it.
Yeah, then what the hell's wrong with us? Okay, for some reason, are we good now? Weird. My audio was going out of my left ear, but now it's back. All right. Brian, you have a theory about something? What was the theory?
I do. We were talking about skiing, right? How neither you nor I are skiers. Pre-show, you and I were saying how all your friends come to Utah to ski, but you don't ski. And same with me. Like, everybody I know who is not from here,
yeah,
is a big skier. Crazy next door neighbors, big skiers, right?
They're, yeah,
from,
yeah,
Wisconsin.
Sure.
But my theory is that when you live here and the mountains are just kind of right up the way, you can get to them very easily. You plan a one-day trip to go ski the first time.
Sure.
Right? You know, you rent some skis. You go up early Saturday morning. You go hit the, you know, Copper Mountain or wherever. That's where I happen to go. And you ride the lift up and you go down the bunny slope and try and get your way. And you fall down a lot and you get your face in the snow a lot. And you have a hard time getting up because the stupid skis are so dang long.
Right.
And you're soaked and you're wet and you're cold and you just want to go back to the lodge and have a hot cocoa. And you end the day and say, all right, I've skied. Really wasn't the thing for me. No big deal. You go back home.
Right.
If you're not from here, then you book a whole weekend and you arrive Friday night and you go to the hotel and you get all excited. And then Saturday morning you get up. And you go down the slope and you go down the bunny slope and you fall down a lot and you get snow on your face and you get cold and wet and tired and freezing and you hate it.
Yeah.
And you can't get up because those damn skis are too long. And you keep falling down. It's just not pleasant. But
right.
You've got a whole nother day of this. Well, you might as well. You know, you've got Sunday. You might as well Tuck it in. You've paid for it. You paid for the weekend.
Yeah, don't just throw it out. Yeah, you've
exactly.
done it.
So you're going to get up Sunday. Well, let's go and do it again. I hated it, but we'll go and do it again. Mm-hmm. And then something clicks for you on Sunday. It's like, oh, I kind of see why people like skiing. This is great. Oh, I love this. Okay, I'm a big skier now. But if you live here, you only have that one day. You only have the bad experience. You don't have the follow-up day where you like it.
Okay.
And that's my theory on why locals don't ski.
I think you're onto something there.
Because that's what happened to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we can only
imagine if I went a second day, I might have liked it more. But after one day, I was like, not liking this at all.
We can only speak from our own experiences.
This is not like Hoth.
No, nothing like Hoth at all, it turns out.
That's right.
Except for the cold part. All right. Before
I'm going to do a quick plug right here.
Yeah, give me a plug, Brian. I want a plug from you. And so, I don't mean that in an ice warm kind of way. Just give me a plug.
Huge, huge thanks to Anthony Feliciano. So during the Coverthon, Anthony donated a year of Xbox Gold. And it was really cool. It was a donation so that we could actually give it away as part of the show. And in the whole process of doing things, and it gets confusing, you're doing this for 24 hours, stuff happens, right? Mm-hmm. I misattributed that Xbox Live 12-month subscription to somebody else.
Oh, no.
And gave it away, you know, just like it planned, but gave it away to somebody else. Actually, Ralph was the person who won, our friend Ralph.
Oh, Roger White.
Roger White, indeed. Mm-hmm. And he ended up winning it, and I never gave Anthony Feliciano credit and never plugged his really, really cool photography site, which is Ant Felici Photography, AntFelici Photography.com. It is actually really cool. And he's got a Twitter, Ant Felici, AntFelici. Totally worth checking out, especially his photography site. He does some really, really amazing work. So, we actually know some cool photographers in the frog pants industry, and he is one of them.
Nice. Ooh, the frog pants industry. I like the way you put that. That sounds
frog pants right. industry.
Yeah, frog pants industries. There you go.
Frog pants empire, global empire.
Fantastic. Well, there you go. Credit where credit is due. That's what Brian's nickname is. CWCD. Credit where credit is due. Oh, I forgot the S.
Right. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
What would be what's the initialism for that? Or the
CWCID. Yeah, Quickwid.
Quickwid. There you go.
Quickwid.
Take that and put it where the sun
Make sure
shine.
You give them Quickwid.
We're going to now play a little game with our audience because Daryl is still a bum and doesn't want to record things
at all. He's a deserter is what he is.
Yeah, he deserts us when he doesn't have to work, which is really weird. Like, basically what he is saying to us is that while he's on the clock and working for the man, that's right. when he'd like to waste some time.
Right, yes, when it's his own time.
Yeah, where he's not getting paid by some company, he's going to just say, well, forget it.
Daryl.
Yeah.
If you're here and we're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Yeah.
What's wrong with us eating a little pizza on our time?
I don't even think he's hearing this right now.
No, he's not.
No. I think
he's
just...
We can say whatever we want about Daryl.
He's in bed right now.
That's right.
Nude.
And you know what?
What?
If he texts us and say, no, I can hear you, then that means he's blowing us off.
Yeah.
Because he's listening to the show.
Even
he's
worse.
He's available.
Even worse. So yes. to him, I say...
Snorkel.
All right, great. Let's let's play this now. It is Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by the Coverville Countdown. This is it, the ultimate show of the year, the closing out of 2015 with the top 20 covers, as listened to and rated and voted on by you people. Mm. Find out how many versions of Creep we can fit into one single episode of Coverville.
Oh.
Because that seemed to be a song that was covered a lot this year and a song that was voted on a lot. What's cool is they're spread out, so it's not going to be like one set with three versions of Creep. But
how do you explain that? Why do you suppose Creep has such a perennial
Creep has
thing?
Longevity, man. Creep has such coverability. You know, you can take that song into so many different directions. Like, for example, I'll say this, that one of the versions is by an a cappella group.
Okay.
Another version is by Postmodern Jukebox, so it's kind of got an old 1920s old style feel to it. And
love
another
that.
One's like kind of a really sinister acoustic female performance. And so each version sounds so different. Creep is like one of those songs that is a perfectly crafted pop song by a band that hates having a perfectly crafted pop song.
Oh yeah, they're not happy about this at all.
They really don't like that song being associated with them.
Yeah, when he was riding around that fake grocery store inside of that grocery cart singing the song for the first time, I don't think he had any idea what they were doing.
No.
So here's my other metadata question for you. By the way, chat room, use this phone number 801-895-4724 if you want to be the one tested today on the Trek Stump a Trek Nerd thing. You'll get a free print if you win. If you don't, we're just sending you on the way out the door. 801-895-4724. All right. So what I was going to say was, do you, from the metadata you have from these 10 years of making covers or putting covers together for Coverville, do you know the most covered song of all time?
Oh, the most covered. See, now that's a different thing than what the countdown produces, right? Because that's really people voting for their favorites and voting for high quality. However, the Guinness Book of World Records, and I don't agree with this in my library anyway, but they say that Yesterday by the Beatles is the most covered song of all time.
Really? I would not have picked that. I would have picked that Hallelujah deal.
Hallelujah's got to be way up there. I personally, the song that I have the most covers of in my library is In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel.
Oh, right.
And let me tell you how many versions. I'm going to pull it up right now. This will only take a second because I've got this.
Some people ask me if my cataracts, what the little robot things are now, where they are now. I say, in my eyes.
Well done, sir.
The light, the heat. How's it go? My feet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Your eyes, the thing I eat. Anyway.
Not counting any duplicates. Some of these might be duplicates in here, but I have 93 versions of In Your Eyes. I could listen to In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel covered for 8 hours and 12 minutes.
Oh, my Lord. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do that.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
With us on the line is our random caller. Hi, who's this?
It's Trace Rec.
Trace Rec on the line, yo. What up, brother?
This is the guy who sent us the awesome tin prints. Justin, how you doing,
that's
man?
That's great. How's it going?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good. It's still, it's my most favorite thing I have in my office now. I'm just trying to figure out where to freaking hang it so that it deserves the proper space. And my kids are jealous, and my friends are jealous, and everybody I know wants it. I actually fear for my life at this point.
Well, you should.
Yeah.
And planted some trees.
Yes, indeed. And think of all the trees. That's the best part, is the trees. So let's put you to the test, man. I'm going to play a clip for you, and you're going to tell us what episode of The Next Generation you think this clip comes from. And there are four choices. I'll give you those in a second. But here's your clip. Listen closely, and we'll be right back with this.
My mother is beginning a physiological phase. It's one that all Betazoid women must deal with as they enter midlife.
Yes, it's something Troy warned me about when we first started to see each other. A Betazoid woman, when she goes through this phase, quadruples her sex drive.
Or more.
Or more.
Or more.
Never told me that.
I didn't want to frighten you.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to frighten you, Riker.
Yeah.
All right. Your options for that clip are the following episodes. A, Manhunt. That seems interesting. B, Cost of Living. C.
Seems a little too on the nose.
It does. It does to me, too. C, Dark Page, or D, Half a Life. So those, again, are Manhunt, Cost of Living, Dark Page, or Half a Life. Them's your options, man. Do you? Which way do you lean? Where do you?
Betazoid women have a very different ponfar.
Oh, yeah, they do. And the Ponfar, remind me, what's the Ponfar thing? That's the
Vulcan
deal. It's like their puberty or whatever.
Yes.
Right? Exactly. Okay. Yeah, where they all freak out for like 7 days or whatever. Anyway, go ahead, man. What
I'll
do you
start
think?
By saying I don't have a clue.
Mm.
Let
me give you a clue.
Let's see.
It's in Star Trek The Next Generation.
And it's one of those four.
It's one of those four. Whoa, Brian, easy. I don't want to.
I might be giving away too much here, but.
I know you're a pro in the trivia field, but geez, let's not give him the whole cake and eat it too here.
Scale it back, Brian.
Can you run the answers one more time?
Of course I can. It is A, Manhunt, B, Cost of Living, C, Dark Page, or D, Half a Life.
You know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go with A. Final answer.
Going to go A, final answer. That would be Manhunt. Let's see if it's right. If it is, then I get to return the favor and send you something cool. If it's not, we send you packing. Let's find out if you're right. Here you go.
Congratulations.
You're absolutely right.
You're a winner.
Loxana Troi comes aboard the Enterprise while they are on a mission. She is going through the Betazoid version of menopause and is intent on finding a husband. That's how that episode went. I don't know what he was going to start telling us what season this was from, but
oh yeah, right.
He hasn't done that yet. Mike, no. Tell us seasons, damn it. There's your answer, and way to go, man. You're our first winner this week.
Yeah.
All luck.
Yeah. Well, and also, for the record, you know, hot, sexy, Betazoid menopause sounds like, you know, Manhunt seems like a safe bet, so I think you made the right choice.
Yep.
Yeah.
You and I will talk off air and get that all arranged, but congratulations, well done, and thanks for being our random caller.
Woohoo!
Not a problem. Thanks, guys.
Stay out of trouble. See you later.
Thanks, Justin.
All right. That guy's the man.
So cool. Glad that worked out. That was
yeah, I'm happy to end our quizzes this week on him.
Yeah.
That's a nice reminder that tomorrow there is no regular episode.
There's no regular episode, people.
Well, there is a special.
Enjoy your New Year's Eve with your family.
Yeah, we're going to put a special up, but it will go up without a live show. It will go up just kind of on its own right there on the feed. It'll be on the website, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You can get it just like we did for Christmas, just like we did for the, what's that other holiday? The Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yep.
Yep, and we'll keep doing it. As far as I'm concerned, for the foreseeable holiday future.
I like that idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe have a couple in the bank for when one of us gets he goes through Ponfar.
Yeah, if one of us is having Ponfar or one of us is in Vegas, which is very similar, those two experiences.
Vegas is my Ponfar.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great T-shirt.
That is a great T-shirt.
Someone make that for Brian. Make him a shirt.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It is time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Visit www.newegg.com and be sure to shop Newegg's XYZ printing store for a great selection of 3D printers, filaments, and accessories.
Like the DaVinci 2, like I have.
That's right.
I love it.
Good printer. It's an awesome printer.
I need to start putting more of the things we're printing, taking pictures stuff.
So the kid's doing a lot.
Yeah, way bunch.
Yeah.
Currently, Nick is... modeling something, and I don't know what is, but he's trying to make some sort of model. You know, it's interesting. He is very focused on his creative endeavors, just like his sister is. They're very into what they're doing, unless his little girlfriend's over. And then suddenly, Nick disappears. Poof.
Amazing how that works.
Yeah. Weird.
That does not surprise me one bit. There's some of that going on here as well.
Yep. And I walk by as I see them on the couch watching a movie. Carter's usually there, too, so I got a built-in, I got a built-in watch.
A chaperone.
Neighborhood watch going on there.
Yeah.
And I'll walk by, and last night they were watching The Little Mermaid for some reason. That's on.
Uh-huh.
And I walk by and I go, no making out or touching butts. And everyone went, Dad. And I went, yep, that's right. Be uncomfortable. That's how this works.
This only works if you're uncomfortable.
Yep. I can't wait. Kim and I are doing that parenting book. I cannot wait for our chapter on no making out or touching butts. We'll finally explain it to the world what we even mean or why it works. All right, Star Wars. Back to some Star Wars news. We haven't had any of that this week or last week.
No, it's been so Star Wars free recently. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, Star Wars reportedly paid Harrison Ford 50 times more than any of his younger co-stars.
Whoa.
And I would also say some of his equally aged co-stars. Variety reports Ford's salary was close to $10 million to $20 million somewhere. That's kind of a big range of that's $10 million difference. Gap.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
not really Variety reporting, is it? It's Variety guessing.
Yeah, they're guessing. The Guardian, though, that the UK paper there, since they filmed a lot of this in Europe, maybe they know better. I don't know. But they peg it in the neighborhood of $34 million. But anyway.
So nobody knows.
Nobody really knows. We know he made a lot more than the rest. But anyway, they both agree that in addition to the millions of dollars up front, Ford will also get some percentage of the profits from Star Wars The Force Awakens. And with the biggest worldwide opening of all time, that could add it to be a pretty significant chunk of change. He can buy another ranch. He can marry another Ally McBeal. It'll be
fine.
He's
working his way through the Ally McBeal cast. Next up is Jane Krakowski. Is that the deal?
That's the plan.
Melissa Flockhart belongs in a museum, Dad.
I was hoping you'd say that. The Flockhart wing at the Smithsonian. What else? Let's see. Returns.
It makes sense. I mean,
he's most work.
More prominently in that film than Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher. It's no spoiler to say that he gets a lot more screen time than the other two.
I agree. And also almost equal, not quite, but almost equal screen time with like Daisy Ridley and Finn.
Right.
But they got substantially less money.
Sure.
Than he did. But also they're kind of new. I this is how this stuff works, guys.
They're an unknown quantity.
Sure.
And
you got to build that up. You got to pay your dues.
Freaking Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Was it Peter Mayhew, by the way?
Peter Mayhew was in it, but he had a backup guy.
Okay.
Because Mayhew couldn't...
There's a lot of physicality that Peter Mayhew can't...
Yeah, he can't move anymore.
These days.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in a wheelchair a lot, so he would do some of the standing, like, stuff, you know? Uh-huh. That was a terrible...
Just like that?
Yeah. I can't do it. But anyway, there you go. He would do some of that, but then the running around with the bow gun and that's the other guy. There's another guy.
Right, okay.
And he's in the credits. He seems like a nice fellow. Mm-hmm. Big, tall guy.
Sure.
Anyway, but the huge returns of the box office also mean that gambling on Ford to bring the nostalgia has paid off handsomely for Lucasfilm and Disney. Ford had notoriously been uninterested in returning to the franchise that made him a star. So if you look at certain elements of the script and some other things, a massive payday to get him there, I think we probably all agree that they made the right move. They say here, how did it stack up against his co-stars? Variety reports that legacy actors Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher took home salaries in the low seven-figure range, probably something like $1.5 million. Mm. Is the thing?
Gosh, how can they subsist,
Brian? How can they sleep at night on that?
Exactly.
Like, how can you survive on such a little pay?
Exactly. Oh no, I've got bills to pay.
Yeah.
$1.5 million for.
Likely though, they both probably also got some residual deals, and they also probably will do more as the film's series continues.
Of course. Yeah.
None of these are spoilers. Calm yourselves down. Also, right. Go see Star Wars already. Holy
right,
crap!
Exactly. I'm tired of walking on eggshells for you people. The lines are down, Daryl. Yeah. Go.
If anything, if there's anything to be said about Star Wars, it is that you shouldn't have the same spoiler rules as everything else. Because at some point, if you're that worried about it, go see the damn thing.
Yes, exactly. I think that's kind of the same situation like for season finales, right? Mm-hmm. If you're invested in a show... Well, I guess it's different because you may be binge watching and
yeah, that's true. I watched Leftovers behind. Like 10 weeks after it aired, so
and I'm still doing Doctor, still watching Doctor Who. I'm just starting the Donna companion section of the David Tennant of the Purple Man's, the Purple Doctor,
the Purple Doctor. Yes, yeah, known for his brainwaves or whatever.
That's right, exactly. His ability to convince people to do whatever he wants,
whatever he needs them to do, to change the lighting in every room that he's in.
And as much as I like Christopher Eccleston, now Tennant's starting to grow on me.
Man, Eccleston, dude.
He's great.
He's so good in Leftovers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He totally is.
So good in there. I think he's my favorite arc. I don't want to get into that too much. I mean, here's the thing. I've made a decision about spoilers. Let me share that with you.
Sure.
Because you chose to be getting into the Doctor Who stuff at a later part, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Your friends shouldn't be jerks and just walk up to you and go, hey, Brian, guess who the baby, 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 and blow the whole thing for you.
Right.
Those are the people you worry about.
But I know
general stuff on the internet, it's just the way it is, and that's the risk you run.
Exactly. I haven't seen any of the Weeping Angel episodes, but I know the gist of them because of spoilers, and I'm okay with that. I know I'm coming to the party late, the Doctor Who party late, and so I'm fully... You know, I'm certainly not going to get, hey, quit talking about Weeping Angels. I haven't seen that episode from 8 years ago yet.
I don't even know what that is. What is a Weeping Angel? You don't have to tell me.
It's one of the scariest episodes of Doctor Who, apparently.
It's not those shitty garbage can creatures that...
Not the Daleks.
...want to exterminate everything.
No. Exterminate!
Exterminate! We should easily be able to just push those over. Just knock them over.
Exterminate! Dalek button on my
Dalek button, right? It's labeled as such. All right, what else we got going on? There's a woman who was arrested for roughing up a farting husband.
Well, it's better than farting up a roughing husband.
That's what I agree with. Although, if that stops your roughing husband, then all
well,
power
that's
to
true.
You. But Port St. Lucie, Florida, Lucy.
Yeah, Port St. Lucie.
It's spelled funny.
Well,
I mean, compared to the name Lucy.
Sure,
that's fine. Florida police.
You'll allow it.
Florida police arrested Don Melky. Michael. After she allegedly attacked her
husband.
After she attacked her husband, Donald Fitzroy. Michael. Why does he have three names? Whatever.
Yeah, he's a serial killer.
He's a serial farter.
Right.
For farting too much in bed. When he broke wind, she apparently elbowed him and then kicked him out of their bed. After she allowed him to return, he passed gas again, spurring her to kick and hit him. According to the CBS 12 news station, Donald Fitzroy Makel, quote, said he held his wife for his own safety during the struggle. What does that mean?
In other words, she kept kicking him. So rather than stand apart from her where she could kick him and hit him and beat him, he held her close.
Yeah.
Restrained her.
Yeah. Hold on. Don't move.
This isn't Dutch oven situation. Yeah.
I have a problem. She suffered a broken lip and a lot of scratches across his chest, or he did rather, sorry. Police stated that she sprayed pepper spray to block him from getting into the bathroom. It's kind of a problem, it seems like.
It sounds like just a bad situation all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think
anyone's... Can I tell you my that's one of my fears, is being and not knowing, but being like a chronic sleep farter and having no idea.
I don't like that either. That's not a good feeling to
know. I've shared a hotel room with a chronic sleep farter.
Really? And he didn't know he was cracking
him
off?
He did not know.
Oh, that's
and it was good. It was like, it was loud. It was almost like, wow, maybe we better get housekeeping in here tomorrow. Maybe we better make sure that they
change
the sheets.
Leave the mint under the whole blanket, not just the pillow.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow, that's bad. There you go, that's you.
That's you. Nice. Laughing. That's what it sounds like when I'm sleeping.
Yeah, exactly. People always think that's just you laughing right now. But it's not really you laughing.
Oh, that's not me?
No, well, I mean, it's you, but it's not you in real time.
Oh, it's a recording of me laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, meeting's over.
All right. Game of Thrones, GOT, they call it for the short, on the season 6, which is coming up. We'll visit the past and the future. They're going all Inception style, I guess. With
yeah,
this,
you know
thing.
Why they're saying this.
I think because, why? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, they've had information about an actor who...
Mm-hmm.
Who's been seen on set, and this is their way of saying, could be dead, could be alive,
could be living.
Right.
So I guess they're going to do it. It's going to be a bunch of stuff through Bran's brain, because he gets to see the past and the future through the three-eyed raven there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, none of this is spoilers.
Nice. I'm excited about that with the kid from Love Actually.
Yeah. It's all very Inception-y. What they don't say here is there is actually a man of Indian descent driving a car in slow motion into a river. So that's happening. All right. Speaking of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Does this come back in April?
This comes back in April. That is correct, I believe. Hold on. Yep. April. April? Okay. April. Yep.
April.
Leonardo DiCaprio, speaking of Inception, explains why he passed on playing Anakin Skywalker in the Star Wars prequels. I did not know he was offered the role. In a recent interview with Shortlist magazine, Leonardo DiCaprio recalled some of the roles he turned down throughout his career. On this list were Spider-Man, which went to Tobey Maguire.
Who would have been great.
Yeah, Robin and Batman Forever, which went to Chris O'Donnell.
Okay,
nice.
Take it or leave it.
Dodge the bullet there, buddy.
Yeah.
But the one game garnering the most interest is Anakin Skywalker in the Star Wars prequels. Before Hayden Christensen made a name for himself in these three films, DiCaprio was in talks for the gig. Quote, I did have a meeting with George Lucas about that. Yes, he says. I just didn't feel ready to take that dive at that point. That dive? What does that mean?
Take that dive. In other words,
have your career go to shit.
To jump into playing a well-known franchise character.
I guess so. Says five Oscar nominations later with a potential sixth on the way. Now says he is not opposed to joining blockbuster franchise ranks. Even superhero movies, he said. You never know. You never know, he says. They're getting better and better, and as far as complex characters in these movies, I haven't yet, but no, I don't rule out anything. So he could be in a... What would he do? What would be a good... Who's a good superhero character?
DiCaprio could play?
Yeah. I can't think of anything.
We haven't gotten yet.
I'm trying to think of some Marvel or DC thing that isn't currently either in the works or already come out.
Right. I mean, they're currently casting for Iron Fist. Would he make a good Iron Fist?
I don't know. Is an Iron Fist black?
Nova's more of a kid.
I thought Iron Fist was a black guy. No?
No, Power Man is the black guy.
Oh, that's right. That's Luke Cage.
Right.
Yeah. My goodness, that Luke Cage, Jessica Jones business. Jeez.
So good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Nick. No making out of touch.
Oh, here you go. Ready? I'm going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio as Mark Spector, Moon Knight.
Oh, that's pretty good. And they've made that character much more interesting lately.
Yes, they
He's
have.
He's not nearly as stupid as he used to be. Oh, hi,
right,
Nick.
Yes.
How you doing? No making out or touching butts.
Okay. wow, she's over early.
Yeah.
whatever gets him out of bed, right?
I think he heard his name upstairs and came down to investigate. That's awesome. He is almost my height. It's freaking me out. Next time you see him, it'll be like, whoa, what happened to Nick? He ate all his veggies or something. Something's going on.
Right.
Anyway, watch for whatever Leo DiCaprio does in the future.
There you go.
I suspect a big scandal about him one day.
Really?
I know that's terrible.
He doesn't seem like the scandal type.
I don't know why I feel that way, and I don't have any evidence to support it. I just feel like one day we're getting it. Don't know why.
I don't see it. I think he seems to keep things pretty close to the vest, or not close to the vest, but I mean, it seems to be down to earth and not like a boozing, drugging.
Yeah, but you've heard about some of his weird yacht parties, right? There's some weird. He's got some weird like 20 supermodel weird stories that float around. I don't know if any of them are true.
I think you're thinking of you just saw The Wolf of Wall Street and think that's a documentary on Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, it's not? Shoot. I've screwed up again. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Recommentals, where his name may come up again. We'll get to all that. And then Dan's here in place of Tom while he's in Hawaii. So we got Dan here talking about the best board games of 2015.
I'm so excited about that because I will go out and buy today stuff that he recommends. So I want some good ideas of a good party song or a good party game.
Yeah, and it's a great week for that because it's still kind of a holiday time and there's family around and why not sit down and play a thing?
People may be coming over tomorrow night for New Year's Eve and I want to play a game with them.
There
you go. Contender arrived yesterday.
I want to come to your house and watch your balls drop on the New Year's Eve.
Sure. Who doesn't?
Well, no one really.
They're smothered with Swarovski crystals too. Did you hear about this? Okay.
No.
This actually kind of ticked me off because I want to pull up the news story. Swarovski. Here we go.
What is this? What happened?
Okay, so you know that they, what is it, Times Square? You know that in Times Square, they drop the ball every,
they drop the ball every year.
They drop the ball every year.
Yeah.
And the ball that they drop is covered with crystals.
Yeah, the great big, right? Crystal looking things, yeah.
Right, exactly. Did you know that, the crystals... I'm sorry, it's not Swarovski, it's Waterford crystal.
Okay.
They cover it with Waterford, these triangular panels of Waterford crystals.
All right.
And every year they change the pattern of these crystal triangles. So this year it's a sunburst. Now, when you're looking at the panels, when they're putting the panels on, like on the Today Show and they're showing it off, you can tell that there's like a little starburst pattern on them.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody, when they're dropping this ball, can tell that there's this starburst pattern because it's small. It's on like each triangle has a little starburst pattern.
Yeah, it's too granule because you see it forever from far away. Nobody sees
exactly
that thing up close. Yeah.
How many millions of dollars do they waste on creating a new crystal pattern every year that they could maybe give to teachers or homeless people or
something? Yes.
Anything.
I agree. It's opulent.
That's to me a complete waste of money for doing something like that, that expensive, and it's something nobody can see. It's purely for, so they can be in the news every year and say, all right, this year's crystal pattern, we're going to unveil it.
Rich people traditions is what that is.
Curly cues.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that. That's stupid. Exactly. They should change that. Let's start a thing. Let's start our own charity that will remove this from the scourge from our planet. All right. Well, in that vein, in that thinking, Brian, let's give people what they really came for, which is great music. What do you got for me?
Justin wrote in, said, "Hey, Scott and Brian, today will be the beginning of my girlfriend and I's journey to our new home." I'm glad there was an today will be the beginning of my girlfriend.
Yeah.
"And my journey to our new home in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We've been together since high school and we've always dreamed of the moment when we could just get up and start our lives together. We've been through a lot to get to this moment, but it's finally happening. And I've been listening to you guys for so long, I practically see you as best friends. Aw. I was introduced to you guys through the instance, thanks to my friend Jared. Thanks, Jared, and to Caitlin. I love you. You will always be my partner in everything I do. I'm so excited for the next part of our adventure. And thank you guys for being there day after day to fill our ear holes." Mm. "Love the show." Justin goes by Lurtz, L-U-R-T-Z-E, in the tadpole when he's able to attend. Well, good luck on the travels down to Atlanta. May the trip be uneventful and warm. I don't know where you're coming from, so if you're coming from somewhere cold, enjoy the Atlanta heat.
Yeah, it's there.
Never ever stops.
Nope, it's there. It's a permanent fixture of that place. There's no getting around it.
That's right. And the zombies.
Yeah.
The request he had was a cover of the song "Wouldn't It Be Nice" by the Beach Boys. Now this is a really sweet song. You know, they God only knows gets way more coverage, but "Wouldn't It Be Nice" is a really cute, sweet song from an awesome album called Pet Sounds. If you do not own the Pet Sounds album, I'd rank it up there with a must-have like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
"Wouldn't It Be Nice." I'm thinking of the right one. Okay.
And it's all about, you know, a couple kids dreaming about the time that about the day in the future when they can actually not have to kiss goodnight and separate at the end of each night after the date, but they'll just be able to, you know, curl up in bed together and wake up the next morning together and all that stuff. Mm. One of those things that you dream about as a kid. And the cover is by a group called Robot and the Wizard. They did an entire album where they covered Pet Sounds in its entirety. It's a little chiptune-y, but it's not fully chiptune. And this is kind of that cool little crossover between chiptune and not. What is it? It's not Imagine Dragons. It is
I know what you mean. The other
group that's kind of like that.
Right. I know the one you mean.
Dragons or something.
I smell dragons. I am dragons. I don't know.
Anyway, it's this is Robot and the Wizard from their 2012 album Bit Sounds and their cover of "Wouldn't It Be Nice."
forget it's fun. Gotta remember, it's fun. This is fun. Adjusting attitude. Just a minute. It'll take me a second. Ah!
Spock.
Sit down and listen, punk. This is the morning stream.
And we're back. We're back. Pet Sounds.
We're bets. Pet Sounds.
Yeah. They're,
if you hated that, then go get the Beach Boys album Pet Sounds and you'll like it much better.
Yeah. I feel like that band painted themselves into a cartoon a little bit, and it's unfortunate. They became
the Beach
like
Boys did?
Yeah, they became kind of the beachy, like, right. Hey man, we're going surfing thing. And unfortunately, lots of their music is nothing like that.
Right. No, it's totally true. And I want to even say that Pet Sounds doesn't mention, you know, surfing or laying on the beach or anything like that at all.
Yeah.
And that is the problem, right? When you kind of label yourself as a beach band, then it kind of shoots you in the foot.
Yeah, and you become a cartoon. Sing, and I like that so much. Nicole Spagnolo on the line. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello.
How the heck are you? How was your Christmas?
Oh, it was really good.
Was it?
Thank you. Oh, yes.
Good. Did you have a good first Christmas?
She did. She slept through most of it.
Yeah. Sounds like
a great Christmas for Ma.
You know, we start that way and we end that way. I can't wait until I'm such an old fart grandpa that I just fall
just
asleep.
All the time?
Yeah, fall asleep on Christmas, right in the middle of the football game, whatever. Looking forward to those days.
I did get an awesome haul of board games this year.
Oh, good.
Oh, cool.
And in fact, I have one in front of me that I wanted to mention to you guys.
Please do.
We could play it right now.
Yeah,
if you
no, please
to.
Do. What is it? What's
called
the game?
Double Feature.
Okay.
And it's the movie game for everyone.
All right.
So it's just comprised of six categories of cards. And the idea is that you have two cards laying down and you have to come up with a movie that follows. So there's prop scenes, production setting, theme, and characters. So let's do this. I'm going to do characters and theme and genre.
Right.
So Brian and Scott, can you come up with a movie that has, it's a theme of Western or war movie that has characters that lose their virtue, lose their way, or lose their mind?
How many do we have to name?
You just need one.
I got one.
The first person to... The first person to say one.
Oh, that's who. That's how we do it. Unforgiven. Unforgiven. Who won? I don't know who won that.
I said Apocalypse Now.
Oh.
Apocalypse Now's a good one, too.
Yeah. So then I would evaluate the answer. And if it's really kind of fun. So if you can't come up with a movie, then you add more cards to the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So if I added a scene, it would be, okay, those three or... There's time travel or a countdown.
Oh, weird.
This is so cool.
This sounds really fun.
Cards like a title is one word long.
Yeah.
I love this.
This is perfect for people like us.
Yeah.
It's just a fun, even if you're bad at movie, like you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't watch very many movies. There's no way I could do. This is an easy one because it's just variable.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm down.
Sorry, Dan, I know you were supposed to be coming on later. Your section's now been canceled. Yeah. Unless you've got a good movie recommendation.
Yeah, you better come up with a good, a better board game than Nicole just did, because that sounds awesome to me.
Oh, I think I might be picking this one up today for sure.
Yeah.
And you know who I found out about this game from?
Mm.
Our friend that draws Munchkin, John.
Oh, John Kowalik.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got an inside track on some pretty good board game ideas. I always forget to ask him.
And I think he's involved in this game.
Is
somehow.
He? Did he do some art or something?
Yeah, it looks like his art.
Okay.
Yeah, there's little concession items on the cover of the box.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a fun game.
All right, I'm in. What's it called again for those who don't remember us saying it?
It's just called Double Feature.
Double Feature.
Yeah, I'm picking that one up today for sure, regardless of Dan's recommendations. I'll pick up something Dan recommends too, but I'm also picking this up.
Yeah, it sounds great. Double feature it is. All right. Well, speaking of triple feature today, we have three recommendals. Every Wednesday, Nicole comes on. We talk about recommendations. We have our own. Nicole has one. This week's theme was movies released in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone could cheat and say one set in 93, but I don't think there are very many of those.
Jeez, that'd be tougher to find, too.
Hard to find.
They would be really hard to find. So, Brian, we have a tradition of starting with yours, and we'll do that today. Do you have any setup for this?
No, this is a funny audio clip, so I'm going to just let it speak for itself.
All right, chat room, be on your toes. What do you think this is?
It's what we got to face.
Nando.
Nando.
Nando's right.
What?
I can't believe what I'm hearing. You too, Roberto? You're talking about eating people. No, we're talking about eating meat so they don't die.
I couldn't do it.
It's disgusting.
I couldn't do it.
It's disgusting. So what? I mean, if I had a wound that was rotten and it needed to be washed out, wouldn't you do it even though it's disgusting because
yeah,
it needed to be done?
I would, but I wouldn't eat you.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Is that alive? That's alive.
That is alive, yes. And I shouldn't surprise you because I think I tweeted or texted both of you and said, this is the movie I'm doing.
Oh, right. Now I remember you doing that. But I remember that movie very vividly. And that's because I replied back about the eating the other guy's
eating
bum
bums.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
eating bums,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, they eat
a little bit of bum.
Yeah, a little piece of frozen bum. Had you never seen this movie before? Right.
I had never seen this movie before, and neither had Tina. So it was really cool because this is one of those movies that when you bring it up and say you've never seen it, people are like, oh, you've never seen Alive? Oh, you need to see that. Mm-hmm. And so we finally saw it. And
it's good.
Yeah, the cannibalism really isn't. It's prominent in that section of the film, but it is hardly what the movie's all about. I mean, it's a movie about survival. It's a movie
what you
about,
remember, though. I just remember him.
Totally.
Because they buried everybody in the snow and then him going and picking. That scene is just like, that's the one scene I remember.
Yeah. And slicing off a little piece and saying, all right, who's next? And giving him a piece of glass to do the cutting.
Little bum slice. Mm-mm.
That's right. Had kind of launched the careers of a couple people. Ethan Hawke, one of his earliest roles.
Yeah.
He's great in it. And Ileana Douglas plays one of the few women on this flight. Basically, it's a soccer team that is traveling over the Andes Mountains. There's some flight trouble. They crash in the Andes, and they're so high up that there's really no vegetation or animal life that they can eat. So
And everything's frozen, so water's a problem.
But
it's a true story, by the way.
It is a true story, and it is a it's so good. It's really good. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it,
and it holds up. I thought
it does hold up. Yeah, yeah. John Malkovich, because it feels like a period piece anyway. Like thing made in 93, but took place in the 80s, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 80 or maybe 70s. Can't remember. Mm-hmm. Directed by Frank Marshall. Now, this is interesting because Frank Marshall, you may know him, the name, but you're not placing it necessarily. He's directed a few things. He directed Congo, which was garbage. Arachnophobia, which was fun. Mm-hmm. And he did a few other things.
It was fun garbage, though. Yeah, 1972, by the way, was when the plane crashed.
Yeah. Now, what you don't know is Frank Marshall is like best pals with Steven Spielberg and is responsible for producing in a producer role, executive producer role, everything from Raiders of the Lost Ark, Poltergeist, all the amazing story stuff they did that together on TV, all the Back to the Futures, all of the American Tale stuff, the cartoons, Gremlins movies, more recently the reboot of the Indiana Jones, or not Indiana Jones, but the Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, 1, Jurassic Park 2, 3, all of them. The dude is huge dude. He is big man in Hollywood. Born Identity movies, all those Born movies.
The producer
Sixth Sense.
Is the money man. You know, the director makes the decisions on how the film looks, but producer is just, you know, here's the money.
Yeah, but he is one of the biggest Hollywood producers of all time. So anyway, it's kind of a big deal. And I think he did a great job on this movie. So.
It shows that he can spot a good movie.
Yeah. And in this case, he, you know, directed it and did a great job. And then he went and did Congo, which is garbage.
Right.
So good job on that. Yeah. All right. Nicely done. Here's the clip from mine. See if you guys can guess, because I did not leak what mine is. I think Brian may know, but I'm going to play it for you anyway. So here you go.
I'm really sorry. Good. Good boy. Good boy. Now I'm going to take him home. I promise it won't happen again.
Son, we hear this every time. And then after a couple of days, he's right back up there again.
Yeah, but this is the last time. Okay. Right? Buddy?
It's the last time.
Yeah. Come on. Let's go.
We'll go back up there again.
Let's go.
Did I take your movie?
Yes, What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Dang it!
That's a great movie.
Yeah, we do have
another one that holds up.
Yeah, that movie's great. I used to get the name wrong and call it Who's Eating Gilbert's Grapes, and... I never used to get the name right, but that movie left a mark on me.
That was the porn adaptation.
Yeah, the really underrated, really, that porn adaptation.
Here's the funny thing is that I forgot about that movie when I was texting Nicole to say...
When you said Johnny Depp, I thought that's the movie you were talking about.
No, I was actually going to say Benny and June because that was the other movie that I remember really liking Benny and June, and I would have...
That is also what I thought you meant. I thought you meant Benny and June as well, so I went this direction thinking I was
totally
avoiding it.
I totally forgot Johnny Depp was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah, he's the protagonist, if you will.
Right.
That's so, Nicole, let's discuss it. It's a good movie. It still holds up.
I have backup. I do have a backup.
Oh, you have a backup, do you?
Yes. I don't know if...
it's alive.
I'll say this. I don't like movies normally where a completely 100%, how do I put this? Has all their mental and physical faculties plays somebody who does not. I usually don't like that.
Yeah.
How does Robert Downey Jr. say it in that one movie?
We're not going to say it,
but you know, that feeling.
You don't go full.
Yeah, you don't go full or right. It's trouble. But I think DiCaprio was very good in this. Like very, it felt heartfelt. It felt genuine. It didn't feel like a cartoony portrayal of somebody with a mental handicap. It was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that movie a lot, and it does totally hold up. Oh, and Juliet Lewis is great in it too.
She's in there.
Yeah,
that's her Steenburger.
Oh, Mary Steenburgen. Steenburgen. Steenburger.
Steenburgen.
Steenburger.
Steenburger.
It's not that Nicole gets names wrong; it's that she gets them better. She gets them better than they were.
She improves names.
Yeah, she improves names to
and I
Steenburger.
Think she's hungry because it's Don Cheeto and Mary Steenburger.
Yeah, all these names have food in them. That is awesome. Dermot McRolney sounds like
Dermot
something I could...
McDonald's.
Yeah, I could... All right. Anyway, sorry. Your backup. Give us a backup. I'm glad you had a backup.
I'm very, very red in the face. You can't see it. All right. Here you go. This is on Amazon Prime.
All right.
Up you, bum.
Hey, that's familiar. Oh, wait. That's not... That wasn't you. All right.
You were talking over the first part. No. Okay, apparently picked a clip. I quickly picked a clip, but she's not really speaking much.
Huh.
What are you doing? What did I tell you?
I heard someone crying.
Dogs.
No, someone. A person crying.
You heard nothing of the sort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you stay where you are told or I'll come and box your ears.
Oh, that's what's her name? That's it's McGonagall from the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah,
it is.
We're gonna pick up on that.
is it a Harry Potter movie?
In 93?
No, not in 93.
Oh yeah, that would have been
Teaching Mrs. Tingle didn't have her. What is that?
This is a movie that was made from a book, and this is a book that was the first. Large, like novel book that I read when I was in sixth grade. And that kind of kicked off my love of reading.
I'm guessing Flowers in the Attic.
No.
Oh.
All right.
Darn it.
Who ate Gilbert's
grape?
But
it does deal with plants.
Oh.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Who ate Gilbert's plant?
No. I don't know.
It's the film adaptation of a book called The Secret Garden.
Oh, The Secret Garden. I have seen this.
I loved reading this book as a sixth grader.
Yeah.
But then when they did it as a movie, I thought they did a really nice job about it. It's about a young girl who gets sent away to live in this huge castle. And there's... as you can imagine, a secret garden.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a mystery, but it's, you know, about this young girl and she, in this clip, hears a young boy crying and he's kind of tucked away like a bad secret. And she ends up finding him, and they become friends and they're cousins. And it's just a really sweet story. It's a G film. So if you have young kids, I would highly recommend it. It's Amazon Prime. And have either of you seen it?
I have seen it forever ago. I watched it when my girls were little, and I don't remember much about it, so it's probably worth revisiting.
It's a sweet story.
Yeah.
I
remember Taylor really liking it.
I loved it.
Yeah. We didn't, and she wasn't even born when it came out, but we saw it some years later when she was maybe 4 or 5, and she loved it. So maybe it's something we should go back to and watch. Yeah, it's good.
It's a great book. If you've never read it, if you have preteen kids, it's a great book. Great first book for a kid to read.
Yeah, and it's not a hard read, but also it's not a simple read. Like that's hard to explain. It's
like I said, it was my first like complex, larger book to read, and I just got so much out of it as a kid too, because it's this young girl who's basically she's suppressed in this castle, and it's her trying to. She's very positive and trying to make the best of out of every situation. So it just really spoke to me as a young girl.
Nice. Well, people should check it out. Amazon Prime Streaming is where you'll find that. Yep. And many other fine products, it turns out. Nicole.
Probably Hillbillies.
Yeah. Oh, good. Really? Because Brian hates that movie and I
hate that movie. I saw that in the list. I'm thinking, oh, should I give it another chance? And that idea was quickly squashed.
I love that movie. I love it. I should hate it, but I love it. It's terrible, Brian. I know it's bad. Yeah.
There you go. See, you know what? We were talking about guilty pleasures earlier. Yep. Boom. There's one right there.
Yep. Beverly Hillbillies movie, Guilty Pleasure 101 for me. Nicole, always fun. Always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you and yours.
Oh, hey, I got to see Star Wars.
Oh, and your good. Give us your 30-second review. What'd you think?
Like I said on Twitter, it was like a friend I haven't spoken to in 30 years.
Wow.
And we just picked up where we left off.
And Rey is awesome.
I love her.
She's the best.
Yeah.
I want to adopt Rey. She's a little old for that, but I would like to adopt her and raise her as my own.
And I love BB-8. I'm so glad that everything that the pre-marketing, I'm like, okay, I'm taking a chance on BB-8. I'm not sure if I'm going to like
him. You nailed it.
So.
Nailed it. BB-8's awesome.
It's great.
It's not the droid we wanted. It's the droid we needed.
Did I just assign a sex to a robot? I'm not sure.
Did you? I don't know. Did you?
I just said he.
Well, we all assume he in that film. They do say he, but it's also, we know it's Bill Hader's voice samples among some other people. So maybe it is a he because Bill Hader did that. I don't know. Whoops. I hung up on her and I didn't mean to. Crap.
Oh.
Damn it. Sorry, Nicole. Shoot. That was just me and my hover finger. Poop. All right. We're calling Dan now.
All right.
He's taking a lunch break.
He's our board game man.
He is our board game man. Dan, the board game man. I don't really have a theme for him, so I'm going to just play this for him.
You can't even handle that muscle-bound female She-Ra.
All right. There's some sexist Skeletor for you there. that's your theme there, Dan. How are you feeling? What's going on?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
I feel like we haven't talked to him forever.
I know. Things look a little different in here today.
Yeah.
It's not the evening time. It's lighter. Like, I love what you've done with
sunshine.
The place. Yeah. Actually, not here. It's been raining for what seems like a month.
How come you don't have snow yet? Or do you?
No, I wish we had snow. No, it's like, it's been 70 and like upper 70s down here.
Oh, that's
on this
right. You're in.
Country.
I keep forgetting you're in the Carolinas. What am I thinking?
Yeah. We usually get snow once or twice a year. And it's usually later, like February or March. It's weird how like all the cold doesn't move in till later. And then all of a sudden it just becomes, it's like, bam, summer.
Yeah.
It goes from like 30 to 80.
Very much looking forward to March is my favorite month of the year. Cause that's when things just clear up and you're like, I can go outside and jog again. I can, the dog can spend more time out there with me and together we can rule the world.
Together you can get chased by a fowl.
Right. Big geese and gooses and things.
And bees.
Bees, billions of bees. All right. So, Dan, we're doing a very special one-off with you for a Wednesday. It's not usually the time we get to do this with you, but because Tom's away and because it's the end of the year, it seemed like a great time to talk about the best board games to get from 2015 and beyond, or maybe before. But give us your recommendations. Both Brian and I are poised to buy games based on what you tell us today. Yes. And had you heard of that movie game that Nicole recommended?
I don't know if you heard Nicole say, but she talked about Double Feature.
No, I heard Double Feature. No, I'm not sure I've heard of that one. I'll have to look it up. There's a few different types of movie games that have been coming out where There are some games that you're trying to put together the great cast to do it. And then there's others where it's almost like a word game where you're there's a game called Schmovie where you're kind of combining like different, you know, two different genres to make one great funny title and stuff like that. And they do some cool Twitter stuff, the people from Schmovie, and it's a lot of fun. Those things are pretty cool. But no, I have to look into that double feature one.
Yeah.
I've got is I've got a bunch of games. Now, you guys are really good, and I hope I haven't let you down on any of the recommendations that I've given you for what seems like about 2 years now. Mm. So I've got some things for the games of the year. Now, the first one that I wanted to tell you about is kind of the art of the year, and this is also like a hipster pick. So this will be coming over. It's starting to get to the U.S. now. It's called The Bloody Inn.
Oh.
It's a card game. I kind of put it in our Skype chat to see if you guys see the art there. Now, it's really you guys kind of like stylized type art.
Totally,
so this is your garden variety art. Now, what's funny about this game is they kind of throw a weird theme on top of things. So what you are is you guys are like farmers. The you know people playing are like farmers who've decided you want to make some money. So why not open an inn and then invite people in and kill them? So your whole idea is that you're getting these people into your tableau and then killing them. And then you have to watch out for the police or kill them, too. So if there's police left out when you've got your people that you haven't buried yet, you can lose points. Mm. But it sounds pretty morbid. It is, but it's fun. It's actually a really good card game. Not very fast. I mean, not very long, maybe about 30 to 45 minutes. But that's kind of got that hipster vibe and art of the year.
So cool. The art is really beautiful on this.
And it's very cheap, too. It's another one of these $20 games that you should be able to find pretty easy.
Like at a Barnes & Noble or something, probably?
Probably pretty soon. You may have to use online retailers, but until it gets into that mass market appeal. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you'll see this sort of thing in like Target, but probably Barnes & Noble soon because they have some pretty good – they're really starting to branch out on their purchasers. Yeah. Their buyers are getting really good.
I don't know if you get the It's Your Move places in the malls where you're at, but like it's a chain store that just sells – games.
Oh no, I haven't seen some of those.
Yeah,
we usually get those like the Christmas time ones that pop up. They're like the calendar stores that have a ton of games in there.
Yeah, the go calendar store, whatever it's called. Yeah,
and if you guys, everybody out there, if you've got a mall by you, go there now and go to those stores because you get games for like 50 to 70% off because they've got to clear everything out before they lose their space in the store.
Right.
And every year we go there. Yeah, some really good finds there. We have your brain burning Euros of the year. I'm going to throw a few out here for you. Elysium, which is a great game. It's got a theme of like kind of an ancient Greece, kind of like I don't know if it's Rome or Greece feel to it. It's got that mythology. I'm sorry. It's got that mythology feel to it. You have the different gods that you're using in a Euro feel. Mm-hmm. La Granja by Stronghold Games is another one of these Euros where you're kind of farming and you're going to the market, but it's got some really cool dice as work. You know, you're drafting some dice and also using cards out there. But the Euro of the year goes to Brewcrafters by Dice Hate Me Games. Mm. If people out there like Agricola, this is your running the brewery from Agricola. People may remember this from a couple years ago when it was first on Kickstarter. It was one of the first games I brought up on the Final Score when it was still in development. Doesn't hurt that I'm actually in this game as the hops expert.
Oh, really? So
check that out. I've got a card in the game.
That's cool, man.
It really is a fun game. I think you guys would like this because Ibbet, you like Agricola, right? You've played Agricola, haven't you?
No, huh?
No? People that have played Agricola or Caverna, which is the newer one, it's a little heavy. Euros tend to be a little heavy, but it's a great heavy where it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours, especially the first time you play. There's a ton of chits in this game. Big, the box, you could kill somebody with this box. It's so cool.
Really, a big box of chits.
Big box of chits. Sugar chits, Brian. Sugar chits.
That's Mel Gibson's favorite way to play.
It sure is.
Give me one more recommendation for a good like party game, like maybe 8 or more players.
Well, you've got...
Springing this on you.
Well, I'll after we get the game that I've mentioned a bunch, will be kind of our game of the year. But I don't know if you remember. You did spring that on me. I'm trying to think because there's a game called Viva Java, which is a good party game. This is kind of a little different. Now you get 8 players is one of the best ways to play this game because it has co-op elements. Now you're all basically from the Viva Java Brewing Company, which is you're trying to make coffee. So you're getting all the different beans from around the world. So it's got worker placement elements where you're going to different parts of the world and getting your beans. But then depending on what part of the world, you're collaborating with the other people in the game. So if maybe you, me, and Scott are in, you know, the out here in the U.S. and South America, we have different color beans. So we're going to collaborate. We have to decide whether we're going to research this round or if we want to collaborate on a brew. So, all right. So we decide to collaborate on a brew. There's little cards that you're going to contribute 1 to 5 beans as a team. And well, it has to be 1 to 5 beans each, but it's going to be 5 beans total as a team. And basically, you're going to draw beans out of your bag. And then you're going to have different color beans, and you're going to use that type of a poker hand. So it gets ranked. The beans, the brews get ranked by poker hand, but each color bean, depending on rarity, will beat another bean. So if you get like a full slate of 5 of a kind of the, I believe green might be the most rare bean, or you know they're little beads. But basically, right. That's the best type of coffee you can get. And then there's a leaderboard in the world because you know everybody wants the latest and greatest coffee. So you're fighting to get on that leaderboard, and every year. The lowest one gets dropped off, but it's a great fun game because every round you're conspiring with other people and you're trying to remember, you know, you don't necessarily have to tell the truth about what's in your bag. You'd be like, all right, so maybe this round, me, Ibit and Spag are on a team and Scott's over by himself and he's trying to hear if, you know, maybe he can get a better, you know, you might be able to get a better brew than what the three of us can. So he's conspiring with his teammates because he knows what we have in our bag. And he's like, oh, Ibit's got all white beans and Dan's got all yellow. So my brown and black beans over here to help with you guys, I'll be able to get higher on the leaderboard.
Wow, that's a lot of beans.
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now on Board Game Geek. This looks great.
It is a lot of fun. And again, games that usually for 7 to 8 as a board game and not necessarily as a party game are not easy to do. But this game does it really good. There's a game called Time's Up. This is the other game. This is what I was trying to remember a second ago. Time's Up Title Recall is one of the best party games ever made. It might even beat Codenames for best party game.
Oh, wow.
This is where...
Title Recall. I like that.
Yeah, that is really funny.
So
yeah.
The game is called Time's Up, but Title Recall is kind of like the movie and TV version of Time's Up. So what you're doing is there's a certain amount of cards that everybody puts into like a stack, and then you're giving clues, kind of like password style, to your partner. You have like one-on-one partners, and then you get a certain amount of time. But the cool thing is these titles never cycle out of the game. So after the first round where you're doing verbal and things like that, the second round is just going to be charades. Like you can't, or you'll say, I'm sorry, the second round is one word.
Right. Yes, so I remember we talked about this one. Yeah, this one sounded great.
Yeah, it's been a while, but this is a really, really good one. So they have the different versions of that, but it is awesome. There's an unsung, I'm going to hop over to unsung co-op of the year.
Okay.
That you guys may not have heard of. I don't think I brought this up. It's called The Grizzled. This is put out by Cool Mini or Not.
When you say co-op, this is co-op versus, almost like PvE in a game. It's co-op versus the board. Okay, I got it.
Right. It's like, it's not every man for himself. It's we're all in this together.
Okay.
And what's good about this game, this is another one where one person can't control the whole game. The biggest problems with co-ops, and this is kind of a problem with the original Pandemic, is you've got the alpha player. You know, you've got a dick problem out there where one person is just deciding, all right, you do this, and I do this, and we win. That sucks about co-ops. So the biggest challenge games have now is making it so that one person can't take over. And The Grizzle does this really good. One thing you'll notice about the art, and this is also up there for the best art of the year. Remember the Charlie Hebdo?
Oh, yeah.
Those one of the artists for this game was murdered in part of the Charlie Hebdo thing. And they used this art in the game.
Wow.
The game itself is fantastic, but the art is also fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the style right now. Yeah, it definitely has kind of a cool European...
French cartoonists have a very distinct style.
Yes,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's hard to deny. You'll see
you
that.
Won't, you yeah, won't that be let down by this game either. It's not easy. It's not crazy difficult, but it will make you want to play it. You know, you're not going to win it the first time. You're going to want to play it a few times. But and it's so easy to pick up. A real, real great game.
I like easy to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to pick up, hard to put down, baby.
That's how I met my wife.
Yeah.
See? That was my college nickname.
Yeah.
So in your kids' game of the year.
Yeah.
Is Lupin Chewy.
Lupin Chewy.
I don't know if you guys remember Lupin Louie. It's an older game where it's kind of, you have this little plastic thing that goes around in circles and it's mechanical and you're pressing down on a lever and the guy goes up and you're trying to knock down everybody else's chickens.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, right. I do remember that.
But in Lupin Chewy, your Chewbacca and the Millennium Falcon trying to knock down everybody else, everybody else's stuff. So it's only three players, but it's fun for all ages.
Is it really Loop and Chewie?
Yeah,
it's got a big Chewbacca sticking out of the top of it.
If I thought about it, I would have got the box for you. It's naturally, it's behind me somewhere.
Oh my God, is that a Slave One at the top of the scorekeeping thing? What is that?
Loop and Chewie. I'm looking at it.
That looks great.
It's awesome. It's, you can find this pretty much anywhere nowadays. You know, Target probably Toys R Us.
That's amazing.
Not very expensive.
That's amazing.
So I'm going to bring you into our top two games of the year.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Our number two game is Pandemic Legacy.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So good. I mean, I've talked about this. I've talked about both of these games quite a bit. But Pandemic Legacy recently got to number two on BGG. So that got to the number two game of all time. This is how much it's lived up to the hype. Such a great game. It's having some inventory problems because everybody wants it. Because I've been trying to send this as a Secret Santa to a certain somebody, but they keep emailing me back and saying it's not in stock. So I'm trying to get it out there. But it's a great, great game. You guys would love this game because it's a family game. It's kind of has this RPG element, something that games are starting to get to now, where there's a limited playability of the box, where in this game you're playing over the 12 months. The max you can play it is about 24 times because you can play each month twice. Mm-hmm. If you lose one, you play it again. Now people complain about that, but to me, I don't care. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of games that I've played that many times as it is, and I've got a lot of games.
That's definitely a different, it's also a very different, it's an approach that you could get creative with. So I like to hear that the games are doing that.
And they change the game every month. There's like a new challenge happens where you get new powers. And it does a real good job that if you're getting beat down by the game, it kind of helps you out a little bit. Like there's extra cards you get to put in. And if you're doing well, you know, the CDC thinks that you don't need as much help. So you lose certain cards out of the game.
Yeah.
Which is actually really, really cool.
I feel like in a way, board games and tabletop experiences have informed video games for so many years. This feels like the reverse of that. Like there's some video gamey elements to that. Like it's hard to explain, but that it feels like the inspiration's coming from the other side now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they're starting to borrow from each other, which is good because
I think that people
they've been really reluctant to do that because a lot of things that you can do in video games, board games don't really want to get into that episodic nature where now they're starting to say, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah. If the price is right and the gameplay is solid, then who cares?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I totally agree. That seems like a cool thing, and nobody can shut up about this thing. Like Jeff Cannata is just blah, 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 about this game all day, all the time on Twitter. He loves it.
Don't let the hype fool you. Don't let it fool you. It is that good. Like I'm usually like, if everybody loves it, it must be a piece of garbage. But Pandemic Legacy is so hyped for a reason, and it is that much fun.
All right.
But the game of the year, no secret to anybody who's heard me on any show at all, is Codenames.
I agree.
That's such a blast.
Amazing. I am. You know, for a guy that I've had Euros and stuff in the past as my games of the year, for like basically a party game to be game of the year is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's incredibly well done, and it's so simple and easy to learn, but so many complexities come out of very simple mechanics that made for some of the most laugh-out-loud, competitive, giggle-on-the-floor moments for us the other night. We played it on Christmas Day. We had so much fun with that game.
Mm-hmm. It really brings like non-gamers in there. I mean, I brought it to a work Christmas party, and so I've got these I've got six of us, and it was me, and it happened to be me and like five women, and one woman who's never played games before. She's real quiet. She's in our billing department. She was on my team, and all of a sudden she just started getting really into it, and we were down to the wire. The other team, basically, if they didn't get this right, we were going to win pretty easy. So somebody walked up. And they're looking over there, and she just looked up, just stoic, and said, "If you help them, I will murder you." Hear stuff like that it elicits that much fun out of people. I mean, and she was just plain as day, just got totally into it.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's really good. I can't say enough about it, and I have to thank Dan publicly. He sent copies of this game to us, and we did not. I had no idea that was coming.
No, fact, I didn't either.
When I got here, I got all excited and went, "Oh, I must have ordered that. I guess it's finally here. I'm so excited because I thought it was out of stock. And look, here it is." And And then I went, oh, wait, no, I think Dan sent this to me. Right. So you, that was way too nice of you, dude.
Yeah, and it didn't come with any sort of like note from the company that sent it. So yeah. It was like, oh, I wonder, okay, well, cool. Whoever sent this, awesome, thanks.
Yeah, and to me, I thought it was me. I thought I had bought it because I'd intended to, and I just couldn't find it anywhere and didn't backorder it because I thought, well, my good buddy Dan will inform me when it becomes available somewhere, and little did I know he actually sent it. So anyway, it turned out to be maybe our favorite thing of Christmas Day. We had so much fun with it, and we couldn't stop. We played forever.
Well, Merry Christmas, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot,
glad
man.
Glad you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really good.
And I hope I didn't go too long here on... I get so excited with talking about all these things.
No, you're perfect timing, in fact. This is right on the money, and I hope we didn't keep you too long, because I know you're kind of jumping around between work and stuff, so thanks
for... Oh, yeah, I'll shovel some food in my mouth and head back to work.
Yeah, cram it in, head back there, and then tell that old lady she's been there 4 times for that Xanax. It's time to go home and take care of her problem.
That's right. Get home.
Dan, take it easy. Thanks so much. It's the Geek Jock blog on Twitter. And,
yes, sir.
Anything else you'd like to mention before you go?
No, just check out the Geek All-Stars podcast. We're going to be doing our Games of the Year coming up in a couple weeks. Real soon, we're going to have a couple of reviews coming up on some
you're doing a
games.
Star Wars, like a Star Wars spoiler cast thing too, right?
Yep, we are recording that tonight.
Nice.
We do our review.
Nice for that. Thanks,
stop,
dude.
Boys.
Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon. See you in the Nexus.
Absolutely.
Bye now.
See ya.
Dan's the best healer we have in Heroes of the Storm.
Well, you got to have a good one.
Yeah, he's very reliable and likes playing here healers that we don't like, but that are very effective. So there you go. All right, that is the show. We have done our duty to God and our country and obeyed the scout law. Brian Ibbett, is there anything else you'd like to mention? I know we're right up to the road edge on this cover countdown deal. You want to mention anything else about that before we go?
No, today? Just tune in today, 1 p.m. If you want to watch the live stream, listen to all 20 songs, boom, one right after another. Of course, if you can't, it'll be on coverville.com as soon as I finish recording. Upload it and it's a podcast, so you can actually subscribe to it. I don't know if you know this, people. You can subscribe to podcasts because they're back.
Weird.
In 2015.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, listen, by the way, so we changed the website, which I mentioned on the show, so that it was kind of just a big waste of bandwidth to have this blog post every day that nobody was commenting in.
Sure.
Kind of was just fluff for no reason. So what I've done instead is now you go to a landing page on the Frog Pants site. It's the same exact address, frogpants.com/TMS. It takes you there, and there are all the things you will ever need, including the latest episode, both downloadable MP3 and the SoundCloud version, and all the RSS links, iTunes, Zune, everything. All that stuff's in there. We had one guy who says, I'm old school. I like to right-click and download. So I did that.
Wow, cool.
YouTube as well. All that stuff is there. So worry not. If it freaked you out that changed and that was how you were getting the show and you're not subscribing like a normal person in 2015, I say that's 100% fine, to each his own. And we have a way for you to do that now. So head over there, frogpants.com/TMS. The morning stream at gmail.com is our email address. Follow us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, morning stream, and use our Reddit page. Our subreddit is frogpants.reddit.com. We'll be back tomorrow with a New Year's Eve special. So watch for that on the feed and on that website. It will be up there tomorrow sometime. I guess that's it. Let's get the H out of Dodge.
All right.
Let's do it. Brian, I have an idea.
Okay. Tell me. Bring this on me. Like,
we don't do this very often.
It's groundbreaking.
Yeah. We don't do this very often. I think you should. Okay. Just stay with me for just
all
a
right,
second.
Right.
Stay with
I'm
me.
Hanging in there.
I think you should play a song.
What?
I know. I don't want to, listen, everybody, I know what you've come to expect, and I don't want to ruin your expectations, but I think today we make a special arrangement, an exception, and play a song.
Crazy.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know what? It works out perfectly, because I have one.
Oh, good.
Tyler wrote in, said, hello, Scott and Brian. On December 30th, I'll be turning the ripe old age of 21.
Good Lord.
Seeing as I don't really like alcohol, it's more of just another birthday for me, but I still want to celebrate. If you could do me the honor and play any cover of a hip-hop song on this day. Meeting you guys at N15 was great. I was one of the 5 black people there, and I can't wait to go again. Love the bro, though. Tyler Helm, or Man Before Time in the Tadpole.
You know what? I wanted to say this. I feel like for such a freaking weird white bread as hell sometimes,
yeah.
But I feel pretty good about 5 of you, and I want more. So more,
right.
More diversity. Thank you so much for being willing to spearhead that effort.
The fact that... That 5 of you think we're cool enough to hang out with is
exactly right. Well said, Brian. Anyway.
All right. So, and I'm even going to go further, and I'm going to play a cover that has elements of a Kanye West song. It's actually, it's labeled as a Kanye West cover, but it's so much more. It's got covers of Shoot the Runner in there. It's got cover, a little bit of a cover of the Black Keys in there. It's called Black Skinhead. You'll recognize it by the drum beat that is very Kanye West. It's performed by Catfish and the Bottlemen, performed this year for the BBC Radio 1 Live Lounge 2015. Came out on that CD earlier this year, and it's great. It's Black Skinhead. It's Catfish and the Bottlemen. Have a wonderful 2015, or the end of your 2015, and here's to a great 2016.
I agree, and also, let's celebrate this day as the one day in weeks nobody asked for the chicken ranch cheddar song.
Oh, right, no kidding.
It's amazing. Our last full episode, and we didn't even have that.
Sorry if you had that listed on your bingo card.
But because I love you.
It's a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
All right.
So what's the point of being grateful?
I know. It's stupid.
All right.
All right. Here it is. We are ready to play this. This is your song. We'll be back tomorrow with our special. And then next Monday in the aftermath of the new year, we'll see you then. Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Booby.
Booby.
Hans, booby.
Booby.